Welcome to Carding Truth Podcast, a father-daughter duo focusing on sharing revelations through conversations with the Lord. Let's get started with today's episode. Welcome to Carding Truth Podcast. I am Lindsay. This is my dad.
Hello, glad to be here.
And we are going to be talking about the redemption of Adam's dominion. So there are three main redemption issues that came from the fall we have discussed.
Yes.
There is the redemption of the soul, the redemption of the curse, and the redemption of dominion.
Right.
So how did this come about?
Well, there's a principle that you got there. Would you read that? It's Romans 6:16. Read that principle. And once we do that, we'll see what happened.
All right. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey his servants, ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
Good old King James Version.
Yes, I was going to say, thank you for giving me the King James Version.
Get the
ease
and the vowels.
Yeah.
Okay, so here was the issue. The issue was God gave him a command. He said, hey, you can eat all the trees, but leave this one alone, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so Adam had a choice. He could either obey God, and then, of course, we later on see the serpent comes and tempts him. So instead of Adam and Eve obeying God, they obeyed the serpent. And according to that verse, once they did that, they became his servant. In other words, he owns them. They're in his estate now. So he owned Adam. He owned Eve. And it kind of gave Lucifer or Satan, the devil, the snake, it gave him some security because God would not destroy him as long as Adam was under his estate or under his authority. It kind of gave him some security. And I think he knew that and planned that in the beginning. The redemption of the soul, you know, God said, if you eat that, in the day you eat that
right.
thereof, you shall surely die. That's right. When he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that went into his stomach, which went into his bloodstream. And the blood is what carries the life through the body. And go ahead and read that Leviticus passage. I think it's Leviticus 17.
17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul.
All right. What that causes is when he partook of that and it went into his bloodstream, then it contaminated his blood, put a death sentence into his blood. So how do we get rid of that death sentence? It takes the shedding of blood to get rid of that death sentence in the blood. That's why God required the shedding of blood. Now, the shedding of the blood of animals and goats and sheep and oxen, they only masked it. They only covered it. They didn't take it away. So God required the shedding of blood for that. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came and he died on the cross. And he washed us from that sin, all right? Well, I understood that part. That makes sense, okay? So Jesus comes, he dies for it. He makes that substitutionary death for me and you and all of us and pays for our sins, and that takes care of that issue. Right, the second issue was once he did that, God said, he didn't curse Adam. It's real important that you understand. He did not curse Adam. He cursed the ground, for Adam's sake. So therefore, that's why it comes in on Jesus at the cross. He had to wear a crown of thorns. He had to redeem that thorny curse. So he wore that crown. He was the king of the curse. And so he redeemed that. So we have his shedding his blood, redeeming the soul of man. We have the crown of thorns taking away the curse that's on the earth. But the thing that bothered me is that, okay, so Adam has placed himself under Satan. Satan owns him, right? And he wanted him for the dominion's sake. Satan really don't care if he dies. Satan really don't care if the thorns comes up. He was concerned with the dominion. So it was evident that Satan really didn't care because he was telling Jesus during the time of temptation that this has all been delivered to me and it's mine. And I'll just give it to you if you'll fall down and worship it. And of course, you know, Jesus rebuked him.
Yes.
So that's what he was concerned about. So my question was, how did he get that back? I mean, that was just like huge, because I'm in the real estate business. And in the real estate business, when there's a lease, especially if some kind of a farm lease, you can't just take it back. You have to buy the other person out. Or you have to continue to let them have the lease until their crops are ready. You know, this was an everlasting dominion issue. So yeah, I understand Jesus paying for the blood. That's because there was a problem between Adam and God. I understand Jesus paying for the thorns because that was because there was a problem between God and the earth. That's between God. All right. But this involves Satan, and he had ownership. So how did he get that back? And that was what started this whole journey. About 2 weeks, I was saying, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. I understand the other two parts. I don't understand this. How did you get it back? And for about 2 weeks, I prayed about it. And I woke up one morning and the answer came to me and tears came to my eyes. I just nearly shouted because I realized that God had to have somehow legally took care of this because God is legal. You know, He does everything right. He is righteousness. So here's what He told me. He made me aware and to remember, and this is through a download, about Lot. So what happened with Lot? Well, there were five kings. One of them was the king of Shinar that came and captured Sodom, and Lot was in Sodom. And so they carried Lot away and all of his stuff. This is in Genesis. I'll set that scripture up on the screen. So in Genesis, Abraham takes 318 of his few good men and goes after Lot and captures Lot back and all of his stuff and brings it back. And when he does that, this high priest of God called Melchizedek shows up. So the principle is this: if something is to be established in the spiritual, then it can be established in the physical. So God sent Melchizedek, which I know is the priest of the high God, and he is in the spiritual realm, just like Aaron was the priest in the physical realm. So he's establishing this in the spiritual realm first. So he sends Melchizedek down to Abraham. Abraham gives him a tithe. Well, this tithe belongs to God, and Melchizedek is the priest, and he's God's representative. So he receives God's money. So now that's established in the spiritual realm. So as we move on down in time, then Aaron receives the rites. And I'll stick those verses up. I put them in Leviticus, but I'll stick some of those verses up where Aaron can receive tithes. Now, when Aaron receives tithes, it's God's money. But the priest is allowed to live off of God's money, and God is the priest's inheritance. So there's a two-way street going on there. All right. So now we have this situation with this tithing wherein the priest has God's money. So God now has money on the earth. All right. We fast forward to Jesus. Judas Iscariot, I think it's in Luke. We got that.
I do have that. I
There's
do have
actually
that.
two things it tells us, and it tells us both things. It tells us that Satan was in Judas. He was one with Judas, right? And there's also a scripture that says he is one with one spirit with the Lord's one with the Lord. So when a man and women when a man and his wife are one flesh, they're one flesh. So when you connect yourself to something, you're one with it. It's just as much as you as it is the other person. All right. So the Bible is careful to tell us in Luke that when they were making this agreement, that Satan was in him. And then another passage is careful to tell. Now, this says Satan. It doesn't say Diablos. It is not unclean spirit. This is the big man himself. This is Lucifer himself. So it's careful to tell us that when they made the deal, Lucifer was in Judas. And whenever the money was put into Judas's hands, Satan was in him. It's careful to tell us this, and it tells us this for a reason, because it wants us to know that he was one with him when he made the deal, and he was one with him when he received the money. So if you could read that Luke passage.
Yeah, so in Luke 22:3, then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went and discussed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. They were glad and agreed to give him money. He was fully consented and searched for an opportunity to betray him to them apart from the crowds.
So, he goes and makes a deal with the priest who has God's money. So we're dealing with God's money here. That's why this is so descriptive about that. It's telling us, it's giving us this information. Hey, this is how this went down, okay? So then we go into John, and we see that when Jesus dips that sop and gives it to him, that Satan enters into him again, all right? And that was prophesied in the Psalms. I'll put that verse up too. That was prophesied in the Psalms that my friend who has lifted up his heel against me has ate my bread. You can read that for yourself. I'm not saying exactly how it says it. But anyway, that's the gist of it. This was prophesied. This dipping of the sop and handing it to Judas was prophesied in the Psalms. It's letting us know, because this is very important that we know that Satan entered into him. So go ahead and read that.
Okay, so this is John chapter 13 and 26. Yeshua answered, "It is he whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And he said he had dipped the bread. He gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After receiving the piece of bread, Satan entered him.
All right. So Satan's in him at this point, all right?
Right.
So Judas gets up after making, while Satan was in him, a deal to a covenant to do this thing, to betray Jesus. He was also in him when he went to the priest. So he goes to the priest. Now, let's think about this in your mind. He goes to the priest and he holds out his hand. Satan's in him. Him and Satan are one. They're father and son.
Ooh.
It's the same thing that we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
In with the Lord. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So what makes me a son of God? What makes you a daughter of God?
Right.
It's the fact that God's spirit and our spirit are one.
Are one.
Well, this is happening on the dark side. Satan is one with Judas,
mm-hmm.
and they're walking to the priest whom they've made a covenant with, and got his hand stretched out. And while Satan's in him, counts him out 30 pieces of silver. Now, this was prophesied in the book of Zechariah that it would be 30 pieces of silver. So when Joseph was betrayed by his brethren, he was betrayed for 20 pieces of silver, which is talking about accountability.
Okay.
30 pieces of silver is talking about the priesthood. So Jesus is becoming the priest for us, even though he's the sacrifice, even though he's the king. This is beautiful, isn't it?
This is a great detailed picture.
So he's in him and he's holding his hand out and he counts out the 30 pieces. So silver is redemption metal. We'll do a podcast on just silver. But silver is a redemption metal. It is, whenever you get silver and you heat it up and you get all the impurities off, the person who is heating it up sees his reflection. And that's what Jesus does with us. He heats us up and gets all the impurities out, just like silver. So this is the same thing that our mirrors are made out of. So this is that redemption. This is that creating of the image of God. All right. So the silver was it. So he's in there. He's in him. He messed up. He shouldn't have been in him. Or any of his representatives, but the big fella himself is in Judas at this point. And I was like, oh my goodness, you checked all the boxes. You made sure every little detail. Yes, Adam, by trickery, lost the dominion, the lease of the earth. And by trickery, by deception, Satan deceived himself and ran into Judas. And it says in there, and I'll put that verse up too. It says in there that if the rulers of this world, talking about the principalities and powers, had have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory, let alone been in the one to receive the payment. So Satan sold the dominion of the earth for a graveyard.
Oh, yeah.
So let's qualify what we meant by buying a graveyard. So when it dawned on Satan what had happened here, he sent Judas back to the high priest and threw the money at him. And had they taken the money and put it back into treasury, then the deal would have just been reversed. But they didn't do that. They said, hey, this is blood money. And so they would not put it back into God's money, back into the treasury, that is. And they took the money and bought a graveyard with it instead. So that's what we were talking about and what we meant by graveyard. Now, that's what Gehenna is. That's what the lake of fire is. It's a trash heap.
Because they went and bought a graveyard with the
They
money.
went and
They
bought a
wouldn't,
graveyard with the money.
because he wouldn't, they wouldn't take it back.
So when
So.
you hear of the lake of fire and Gehenna and all that, it's talking about this trash dump on the side where he bought the graveyard at, that they cast in and all the stuff and burned it up. He sold the dominion for a graveyard. He sold the dominion for hell. It's just astounding.
Right.
It's right there too, and it tells you every little detail about it. So that's what was bugging me. God wanted to reveal to us how that he painstakingly, in the correct, legal, perfect order, redeemed us. He redeemed our soul. He redeemed the earth from the curse, and he redeemed the dominion. Very thing Satan was so happy about, the very thing that was being his safety net,
Right.
he sold
For a graveyard.
because he got tricked.
Yeah. Well, it serves him right.
Well, he got tricked because he took the bait.
Yeah.
Just the same way a fish
Such a
gets tricked.
great, like, not ending of the story, but a good thing to know. Like, he always loses. He's a
Yes.
loser. He always loses. Even when he
Yes.
tries to win, he can't win.
Well, it's because he's fighting God. He's
Yeah.
fighting perfection. He's
Right.
fighting
You can't ever
the
win against
Almighty. You
that.
can't
Thank God.
outsmart the Almighty. You can't
Yeah.
do it. It's not possible. So yeah, that's what that was one of the big revelations. One of them. We've got a bunch more big ones to go through, but that was a big one.
God, that one was so good, so complex, so big, but makes so much sense.
I'm thinking about the process. God had to get money on earth, right?
Right?
He had to have the money, and the deal that was made was with the person who had his money,
Right.
and then he had to pay the in hand while Satan was possessing the guy that was getting the money. That
All the details.
just goes,
Yeah, it does. It
your
is
mind just
like,
blows up with that. So,
I'm so glad that you asked that. I'm so glad that you thought to ask that because that is such a huge revelation and to let us know that he didn't forget like
God is
anything.
glorious. He
Right.
is glorious to behold. He is glorious beyond our wildest imagination. And you can't outsmart him.
Wow. If you are enjoying the content and would like to support our ministry, you can do so through Venmo or PayPal. Our handle is @CardingTruth or use our QR code. So good. So good. Like I always say, if you have any questions, we would love for you to shoot us an email at cardingtruth@gmail.com. We love questions. Dad always is great to answer my questions. God is always great to answer our questions when we ask him, and that's where we get these revelations. And I'm so glad my dad has petitioned the Lord for these revelations and things like
Well,
that.
it's addictive. I'm so glad that God gave me that gift and that desire to go out there and look for these things, because it's so good. It shows his goodness, it shows his personage. He's awesome. He's
Yeah.
absolutely awesome. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Well, once again, thank you so much for tuning in with us today. We have some other fun stuff coming up. We have the John chapter 9 prophecy about the pool of Siloam, the seven heads of the dragon, the temple, when will it be built, and who are the two witnesses? So those will be the next coming podcast. And we just pray that you'll tune back in with us, that you're enjoying this content. Definitely like and subscribe to our page if you are a YouTube viewer. And
Be kind with your emails, please. This is a
these
family-friendly
this is a
show.
family-friendly thing, so but we appreciate any feedback other than ugly feedback, of course. And we just thank you so much for hanging out with us, and we pray that you be blessed today.